Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. What a moment he has brought us to. Such a freedom we have found in you, Father God. We thank you for another day. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. But it is good to be in the presence of the Lord. And all I can say is, wow, Mother Valerie, did we have a great time with God on yesterday? Oh, my goodness. The Lord showed up. And all I wanted to do really was run. But God knows a girl needs to lose. Given us. And, you know, I was looking at our prayer for this morning. Not good is what it says. And it comes out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. NIV version, and it says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Philippians 4 and 12, NIV. And it says, God, I am so grateful that my relationship with you is not dependent on my circumstances. You are a good father who does not love his kids more when they succeed and less when they fail. Your love is the steadiest thing in the universe. Whatever my life looks like right now, the good, the bad, the ugly, where you meet me. I don't need wealth. Our success to be content. I also don't need to live with barely anything to my name, to live in simplicity of your gospel. Lord, as I lean into your heart today, impact the fruit of your character into my life, that my satisfaction would be found in relationship to you. When I struggle and fall, I have as much access to your goodness as when everything seems to be going well. Today, you know right where I am on that spectrum. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to bring revelation light to my life and to the meaning of life. I know that I will find it in you. Question from this morning, does your belief about God and how he sees you change when your circumstances shift? Ooh, on this February 12th day, our 365 days of prayer for life has given us a question. Does your belief about God and how he sees you change when your circumstances change? We should love the Lord the same, always, regardless of our circumstances. And I can say I've been in plenty and I've been in lack, but I love God just the same because I can tell you, in my lack, he has made me understand that he is the one that provides, and he provides everything you need and more than you could ever ask for or think, because he provided his son. And the word that God gave us for this morning for our lesson is watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Watch and pray. My mother-in-law, the lovely soul, and she used to tell us, my husband and I, rest his lovely soul as well, God. And she would tell us every time we would visit and leave Chicago, she would say, watch and pray. Watch as well as pray. And I never understood it until I started studying. And then when I understood it, it's watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. you know, lest you go down the wrong road, lest you don't do what you need to do. So she always told us it was a prayer of protection over us every time we left her home, was watch and pray, was a prayer of protection. And we have to tell our children, watch as well as pray, that you don't fall into the wiles of the enemy, because he is a wily little thing. You know, he is of the air, so he's all over, trying to be anyway. But all he's doing is bringing sickness and disease. But we bind the sickness. We bind the diseases. We bind that slimy, sneaky snake and send him back to the pits of hell where he's going and where he is in charge. God is in charge of everything, including hell. And God will determine who's going to go there too. We just got to understand, as we watch and pray, that we don't fall into the temptation, that we don't get knocked out of our square, really trying to push you out from the coverage of God. And we have to ask God, Lord, protect us. Protect us in our going in. Protect us in our coming out as we watch and pray. Father God, we thank you for another day today. We thank you, Lord, for the prayers of the righteous that avail much, God. We're asking you, Lord God, to cover Mother Rita today and her family, God, including Mother Valerie, her sister, who loves her so very much. Lord God, we know that Mother Rita, I would not be doing this if it had not been for her giving me encouragement to keep on the course and to always be here. And Lord, I know that in spirit she is with us this morning. And Lord God, I'm asking you, as she has interceded for so many as an intercessor, she has been praying for our family, praying for me, praying for all those that are just in need of a word, God. She's interceded for so long for so many, God. And now we're asking you to intercede for her, God. Your will be done, God, in her life. Your will be done in her family. Your will be done with us, God, as we look forward, God, to one day journeying with you. One day coming in the sky. One day being raised up, God. As Mother Valerie says, Lord, I got my rapture jumped down. And Lord God, I want to be one day at your feet, worshiping at your hand. And so, Father God, as we lift up this word this morning, we ask you, Father, to increase as we decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength. You, Lord God, are our redeemer. You are our absolute. You are our everything, Lord. As we watch and pray to avoid the temptation and the wiles of the enemy, God, we ask you, God, to watch over those that are in need. We ask special prayers over Evangelist Teresa, who joins us, God. We're asking you to heal her body, God, for she had a spill on yesterday. And we know, God, that you are in charge and that you have already healed her wound and you are healing her legs and her limbs, God. We know that you already are covering her, God. And so, Father God, as we lift up all those that come on, Minister Shannon and Evangelist Teresa, Mother Rita, Sister Carolyn, and all those that come in that I know by name and that I don't, Tracy, God, and others, Pastor Jesse, and many more of my children, God, who listen in every day. I thank you, Lord, for all of these people that come on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, family. We ask you, Lord, to watch over them, to bless them. And Lord God, as you bless them, bless this nation that you created, God, called America, God. We ask you, Lord, to help to be a united nation, a united state, not divided, because we know, Lord, divided we fall. Father God, you know everything that's been done in the dark, and we know, Lord, that you will bring it into the light. In the name of Jesus, we ask coverage over Lakewood family, God, who has gone through a shooting, God, another shooting in a house of God. Praise you, Lord, that no one was killed but the shooter, God. And we pray for her soul, God. And we pray for the child that was with her, God, the five-year-old in critical condition, Lord. May this baby heal from the trauma. And, Lord God, for any that have been traumatized in their church, We ask you, Lord God, to give them peace. And, Lord, we're asking for peace in this planet, peace on this planet, God, that you gave us. This air that we breathe, you gave us. The songs that we sing, you gave us. Lord God, we're asking you to please, Lord, heal this land. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And we ask you, Lord, as always, please increase as we decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are our strength, Lord God, and your Son, our Savior, Christ Jesus, Yeshua, is our friend, our Savior, and the one we give honor to, for he gave his life for us, and we want to be on the right side. We want to be on the Lord's side. We want to be on your side, Father God. And so we ask in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness, and for this word that you have given us, this basic instruction, before we leave this earth, that we will know where to go to be ready. In Jesus' name, amen. Mother Valerie, again, good morning, beautiful lady. It is such a pleasure to have you on. I laugh every time I think about it, how God answers prayers. He knew I needed some help, and he sent my mother. So I am so grateful for this godmother that God has given me, who has a love for reading the word of God just like I do, and who just gets all excited and giddy for Jesus too, just like me. So Mother Valerie, good morning. How are you this lovely February the 12th, week of love? We are starting love week, y'all. Woo-hoo. I don't have a husband, but I have a Jesus. So I'm all excited because I know my Jesus loves me more than a husband ever could. So I am thankful, grateful, and blessed to be a child of God on this lovely week of love. So Mother Valerie, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Valerie.
You can feel the joy in my heart. I am a Midwesterner, and I can say that the Chiefs won all right now. So, hey, I'm all excited. It was a great game. I think, honestly, it was probably one of the best Super Bowls I've seen in a long time. It was a nail biter till the last second. It was over before 10 o'clock. So you can't beat that with a stick, as they say. So great game. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs and to all those that, you know, participated. It was just a great halftime show, a great game. It was good. And I'm just grateful to have hung out and laughed and watched the game with my sons. And, you know, my oldest son kind of got tired because the Chiefs was losing, and he just thought it's over. And my youngest son said, it's not over until that clock drops down to zero. And my youngest son was right. He stuck in there, and he gave me encouragement. So I am grateful for Mr. Smith, who gave his mom encouragement to stay the course. They're going to win, Mom. They're going to win. And he was right. So I am grateful for that. So a great evening was had by all, as they say. So we are about to get into our word. And the word this morning is coming out of Exodus chapter 35 through 36, verse 38. Our psalm this morning is the 22nd psalm, verses 1 through 8. Our proverb this morning is Proverbs chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. And we will be finishing up Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 50 today. And Mother Valerie, I just wanted to say again, You know, we must keep Lakewood Church in our prayers.
Amen.
For those that are listening that did not know, there was a shooting at Joel Osteen's church on yesterday. A young lady and her five-year-old came into the church, and it said she had a long rifle in the news that I saw. And she shot a man, I believe, in the leg. And then they had some off-duty police officers who killed her. And unfortunately, her child was in the crossfire, so the baby is in critical condition in the hospital in Houston. So keep the family in your prayers, because it had to be someone with a mental condition or just a lot of hatred to go into the house of God and try to shoot someone or shoot up the church. I had a gentleman that was given, he was speaking, and all of a sudden you heard the pop, pop. So she shot more than one time into the church. So we are blessed that only, you know, she is gone, and unfortunately her child is injured, and only someone got shot in a leg. But we have to pray over our houses of God. So definitely keep our churches in your prayers. You know, I will never forget Mother Emmanuel Church in the Carolinas, in actually Charlotte, I believe Charleston, the state capital, I'll just put it that way, of South Carolina, where Dylann Roof came in and thought it was all right to kill 9 people after setting in with 5 of them with Bible study, and then to kill them all because the color of their skin was different than his.
My Lord,
we have to pray for God to bring unity to a nation divided because of the bloodshed and the enslavement of God's people. We have to pray for this nation, for unity of the body of Christ first, because when we're unified, the world becomes unified. So, Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. And
good
we
morning,
may go
people.
Over a little bit today, but it's all right. I don't have to go to work till late.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Mother Valerie, it's all yours.
Amen. Good morning, people of God, and good morning, everybody. I'm coming out of Exodus 35:1, 36, and 38. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, "These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the 7th day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death." That's how important it is to rest. Because if you don't rest, then God will make you rest. And he said the Sabbath is a day of rest. God will make you rest one way or the other. You'll either get sick and have to rest. And you don't want to just get sick and have to rest. You want to rest. I mean, God rested. So what make you think you can go 7 days in and 7 days out and not rest? It says, whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You should kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it to the offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skin, red badger skin, and acacia wood, all for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, oxen stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, if you are willing." You don't have to do this, but God said whoever is of a willing heart. "All who are gifted archers among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded: the tabernacle, its tents, its covering, its claps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, The ark, its poles with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, the table and its poles, all its utensils, showbread, also the lampstand for the light, its utensils, its lamps, and all for the light. The incense altar, its poles, the anointing oil, sweet incense, screen for the door of the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offerings with its brass grating, its poles, all its utensils, and the laver and its base. Hanging of the court, its pillars, the sockets, the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle, the pegs of the court, and their cords, the garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments his sons to minister as priests. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord often for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all the service and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, brought earrings, nose rings, rings, and necklaces, all jewelry of gold. That is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, red skins, ram, badger skins, brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering. Everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet and fine linen. All the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. The rulers brought oxen stones and stones to be set in the ephod, in the breastplate, and spices and oil for the light of the anointing oil, for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose heart was willing to bring material for all kinds of work with which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Basil, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting jewels, for setting in carven wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. It's put in his heart and ability to teach him, and at Holiab, the son of Amnish of the tribe of Dan, he has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer, the tapestry maker in blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works, and Basil and Elohad and every gifted artist in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, to do according to all that the Lord has commanded." Then Moses called Basil, Elohim, and every gifted artist in whose heart the Lord has put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred, to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continue bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who was doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do." So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And the people was restrained from bringing. Wouldn't that be wonderful at the table of life? Pastor Justice said, "Don't nobody give any more money. We have too much. The table of life is paid off, and we have an overflow for the year 2024, an overflow. Nobody stop bringing." Boy, to hear a pastor say that in this day and age would be beautiful. And our title for today is Watch and Pray, Lest You Enter into Temptation. That would be beautiful. And the people was restrained from bringing. For the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. They had too much. Isn't that something? Then all the gift artisans among them who worked on the tabernacle made 10 curtains woven of fine linen, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, with artistic design of cherubim. They made them. Length of each curtain was 28 cubits. The width of each curtain had 4 cubits. The curtains were all the same size. And he coupled 5 curtains to one another, and the other 5 curtains he coupled to one another. He made loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain, on the seams of one set, likewise he did on the outer edge of the outer curtain of the second set. 50 loops he made on one curtain. 50 loops he made on the edge of the curtain on the end of the second set. The loops held one curtain to another. He made 50 clefts of gold and coupled the curtains to one another, and with the clefts that it might be one tabernacle. He made coats. He made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle. He made 11 curtains. The length of each curtain was 30 cubits. The width of each curtain, 4 cubits. The 11 curtains were the same size. He coupled 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And he made 50 loops on the edge of the curtain, that is the outermost in one set, and 50 loops made on the edge of the curtain of the second set. He also made 50 brass clasps to couple the tent together, that it might be one. Then he made a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering of badger skins above that. For the tabernacle, he made boards of acacia wood standing upright. The length of each board was 10 cubits. The width of each board a cubit and a half. Each board had 2 tenons for binding one to another. Thus he made for the boards for the tabernacle. He made boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side, 40 sockets of silver he made to go under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the other side of the tabernacle, the north side, he made 20 boards, and the 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets on each of the boards. For the west side of the tabernacle, he made 6 boards. He also made 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They were coupled at the bottom and coupled together at the top by one ring. Thus, he made both of them for the 2 corners. So there were 8 boards and their sockets, 16 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. He made bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the board on the other side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle on the fourth side, westward. He made the middle bar to pass through the boards from one end to the other. He overlaid the boards with gold, made their rings of gold to be holders for the bars, and overlaid their boards with gold. And he made a veil of blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine wooden linen. It was worked with the artistic design of cherubim. He made it for 4 pillars of acacia wood, overlaid them with gold, with their hooks of gold, and he cast 4 sockets of silver for them. Also made a screen for the tabernacle, door of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine wooden linen, and made by a weaver. And its 5 pillars, with their hooks, he overlaid their capitals and their rings with gold, but their 5 sockets was brass. I mean, that tabernacle had to be just so this way, just so that way, to the north, to the south, to the west. I mean, it had, its design was exactly the way God wanted it to be, with gold, purple, blue. I mean, and the free will offering, he said, if your heart wants to, I mean, you don't have to give an offering. Let everybody that wants to give a free will offering come. But I like the part when it said, stop. Don't bring no more. You've given so much. We have enough. So just stop your giving. Life lessons, Exodus 35:21. Everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. and they brought the Lord's offering. God loves cheerful, willing, and self-motivated giving because it demonstrates a genuine devotion to and a great vibrant connection with Him. Regular giving breaks money hold over us and deepens our devotion to God. Life lessons, Exodus 36:1. And Basil, Aholib, and every gift forces in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding. The gifts were normally called spiritual gifts, different from natural gifts, in that the Lord gives the former at the moment of conversion. But both kinds of gifts came from Him and may be used for His glory. For His glory. God is just a good God. On February the 12th. Now I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. God is good.
Amen. 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 And Mother Valerie, would you please be so kind as to go ahead and read our psalm this morning, chapter 22, verses 1 through 8, with the life lesson, and then I'll be back with Proverbs.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cried in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Life lesson, Psalms 21:1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and for the words of my groaning? Jesus Christ knew more about feeling abandoned by God than we ever will. But in his case, it was more than a feeling for a moment. God turned his back on his son when he became sin for us. You can see Matthew 27:46. But Jesus' body wasn't willing to be crucified, but he said, God, not my will, but let thy will be done. Mm. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God could not look at sin. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God is a good God all the time, no matter what you're going through. No matter what you're going through, cry out to God because he will hear. And if you can't do anything but moan and groan, say the name Jesus, 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 Lord, help me. And God will hear. He answers prayers. A lot of times I lose the back of an earring, a little bitty small thing such as that. God is concerned with what you are concerned with. And Lord, help me find the back of this earring. And he would take his eyes, point your eyes to what you're looking for. God is a deliverer. God is Father. He's Abba. Yahweh. He's Abba. He's I am. He's Father God. He's concerned with what his children are concerned with. And all you have to do, become a child of God, is repent and believe. Believe that God is. A lot of people don't believe that God is, but honey, God is real. You have to repent of your sins, turn your back, and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe in you. I love you, Lord. God will hear you. And if you don't believe in God, say, God, I don't believe in you. But if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And God will do just that. He'll let you know in no uncertain terms that he's real. God is real. And I think an atheist, because they don't want to follow God, you know, so they make up excuse, the Big Bang Theory. Well, who started the Big Bang? The Bang had to come from somewhere. Everything Amen. Started with God. He made the heaven. He made the earth. God is everything. Everywhere I look, I see God. I see God in the trees. I see God in the sunset. I see God when the sun goes down. I see God in the ant, that little bitty ant. Everywhere I go, I see God when I see a squirrel. And most of all, I see God when I look in the mirror. I look at myself. I'm created in the image of God. I have a brain. I can think. I can reason. I can walk. I see God everywhere. He left himself. I see God in the stars, the moon. I see God everywhere. Ooh. Turning this back over to Pastor. It said, ooh. Watch and pray.
I was thinking, you know, I see God everywhere. And that touches my heart because I know that he is always there. When we go through our worst, God is there. When we go through our best, God is there. As our prayer for this morning said, God is with us in our good, our bad, and our ugly. He is always there. And when we depend on him, he will eventually make the crooked path straight. All we have to do is believe. And as we go into our proverb this morning, it's Proverbs chapter 8, verses 6 to 11. It says, listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. Come on, Solomon, you know you can preach. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. God is saying we got to get wisdom. You know, we got to get understanding. You know, we need to know who we belong to. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Now, Jesus, you know, in our lesson today, he had just, you know, gone through. You know, he was talking to his disciples. You know, he was telling them about the strong man. And, you know, our word for yesterday, we dealt with, you know, the bride. You know, do you have your oil? You know, and the thing is, sometimes you got to tell folks no. When folks say, can I borrow, can I have some of your oil? No. The answer has to be no, because you're going to need it for yourself. You know, we got to understand sometimes you can't give everything away. You got to understand you got to keep some stuff for yourself because it keeps you sane. You know, so many times we are so easy, you know, give, give, give. And then when you need and the bridegroom is coming, your oil is lacking. And so when you come back after going to get what you need, it's too late. We got to remember that, you know, and it's not being selfish. It's being frugal. It's being smart. We got to remember. We got to watch and pray because we don't know when the Savior's coming back. And we got to be ready. As Mother said, we got to have our rapture jump ready. You know, do you have your bags packed? Are your spiritual bags packed? Do you have your rapture jump in order? Because when Jesus comes, I'm ready to jump and say, take me. Take me into the clouds with you. You know, we got work to do. And so as we go into the word this morning, Jesus is speaking with his disciples. You know, he's suffering. He knows that Judas has already gone to get them silver, 30 pieces of silver for him. And yesterday, you know, he was at the Last Supper. And he said, Rabbi, is it I? And he said to him, you have said it. Judas knew because he got mad because he couldn't get that oil, that alabaster oil from that little jar. Come on now. That was used to anoint the Savior. As he said, she will be remembered. And he got mad because Judas was a thief. He was the treasurer who was an embezzler, who was stealing from the treasury of Jesus. And he said, we could have got more money for the poor. And Jesus had to let him know, the poor will always be with us. But Judas called himself getting mad because that just meant more money he couldn't steal. And let's go and say this. I'm going to go back to a little bit of yes, because for I'm pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. And surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, not just here in Israel, not just here in Judah, but in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And now Jesus is going to pray. Because the one thing I say about our Savior, he was a prayer warrior. Jesus prayed all the time. He was and prayed. But today, he took his disciples, I call them his aces. He took Peter, James, and John and separated himself. But first, before that, this highlightable. And as we go into Matthew 26, verse 26, it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. But this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. We call it communion. It is a holy supper unto Jesus that we commemorate, that we never forget his sacrifice of his body, of his blood for me, for you. We don't have problems because we have a Savior. Hallelujah. We give it to him because he's already shed the blood. He's already given his all for us. And it says, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me. This night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, not tomorrow night, not next week, but this night, he told him, This night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. But what did the word say? I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And it goes on to say, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which are James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Stay here and watch with me. He didn't ask much. Just watch with me. Don't leave me. Watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, possible. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. When we are going through, it is because God is making us stronger. God is making us stronger because iron sharpens iron. We all go through our trials and our tribulations. But Jesus said, Lord, he prayed. And we have to pray. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation is what he told us. And we have to remember, we got to watch. We got to pray. Prayer changes all kinds of circumstances. I believe that. And then he said, and then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch with me 1 hour. Our pastor asked 1 hour once a week to come and pray. And you can count the folks that come and pray on one hand. And I'm guilty of not always making it to prayer. I pray, but I don't always make it to the church to pray for that hour. And I feel some kind of way. I'm like, Lord, forgive me. Because there's nothing that is going on that I can't make it for that 1 hour. And then I think about this scripture. Because Jesus asked Peter, James, and John, just 1 hour of your time to pray with me. And understand, when you get ready to go into prayer, it's almost like the enemy just comes and makes you tired. Makes you sleepy. Makes you just sleepy. Like, oh, I'm exhausted. But yet, when sleepy. It's time to go to watch the Super Bowl, you all wide awake. When it's time to go to the movies, you wide awake. But when it's time to go to church, when it's time to go to prayer, you just so tired. That's a trick. We can't fall for it. We can't fall for it. And then it goes on to say, and then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? That's all he asked. 1 hour. 1 hour of prayer. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Because he knew that Peter was going to deny him 3 times. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. We all want to do better. We want to be better. We want to trust God. We want to, but then the flesh will say, you know what? You out. You think about you. But we know that's a lie. That's a trick. Do not allow the enemy to trick you into complacency. And I know I've been there into the deepest, darkest depression and still trying to get out of it, still digging from going down that road where you just don't feel like doing anything. You feel like you just can't go on. God is there to say, yes, you can. Yes, you can, my daughter. Yes, you can, my son. I got you. We got to trust God. We got to watch and pray. And it says, and again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Right? He said it the first time, not as I will, but as you will. Second time, he said, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. But understand that sinners were the ones that thought they were so religious, thought they were so saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, that they knew everything. They had the word down, and this little upstart preacher coming in here calling himself a rabbi, knowing the word of God better than we do. Oh, we can't have that. Telling folks that they are blessed. Feeding 5,000. Feeding 4,000 with just some bread and fish. Who is this man killing the sick on the Sabbath? Wait a minute. He's messing up the rules. Cleaning out Amen. The house, saying that the house of God should be a house of prayer and not a den of thieves. Who is this little upstart skinny. And then, oh, what? He said he's the son of God. Well, you know, Caiaphas, man, I was there when John the Baptist, who, you know, they say was the second coming of Isaiah. But, you know, we let Herod and Herodias kill him. But, you know, when he baptized the rabbi, you know, when he baptized him, the heavens did open, and we did hear a voice that said, "Behold, this is my beloved son." I think he might be the Messiah, but I know we can't have a Messiah, because if we have a Messiah, the Romans gonna get us. So we gotta stick with what we say, okay? We understand, guys. We understand, you know, the kind of stuff that goes on where they don't want believers to believe in Jesus, but we believe. You can't take my Jesus. You can't take my Savior. Whatever we go through, we know who we belong to. His blood sustains us. You know, on yesterday, you know, the song, you know, that, you know, all the blood of Jesus, you know, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. And we got to remember that the blood of Jesus will not lose its power. And he told the disciples, as they were so tired, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
He said the betrayer was at hand. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayal have given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he's the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Pastor, are you back?
I am back. My ears went out, I guess. But I just say that's because, you know what, the enemy don't like it when the word of God is going forth. But I thank God that he gave me a mother, Valerie, to come in when I go out. Hallelujah. Won't God do it? He will do it every time. Because, you know, as Judas came, you know, to kiss him, you think about this. He's going to kiss him and betray him. And that is a trick.
With a kiss.
A love with kiss. Betrayal with
That's
a kiss.
What lovers do. A kiss. Betrayal with a kiss. My Lord and my God.
Whew. And then I love this word. It says, when we go to life answers for questions, it said, Jesus' example of sacrifice. Matthew 26 and 39, if you want to highlight, says some believe that Jesus came to show us how to live good life. And to be sure, he is our example of righteousness. We are to become like him. But that isn't the reason Jesus came. Jesus came to die, to become the sacrificial, substitutionary, all-sufficient atonement for our sins. If Jesus didn't come to die, there is no purpose in the cross or the resurrection. The New Testament consistently confronts us with the message, Christ died for us. Jesus came so that you and I might transfer our guilt to him and accept by faith that as the guiltless one, he has received our sin and taken it to himself. If you are looking for forgiveness on the basis of your pleas, promises, and performance, then you will remain in your sin. Only if you accept his sacrifice will you open yourself to receiving the fullness of God's life-giving spirit. All I can say is thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your unfailing love. Matthew 26:29, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The Lord's Supper not only looks back to the sacrifice of Christ's death, it also looks ahead to his glorious reign. It both memorializes and anticipates the work of Christ and invites us to remember and celebrate. Again, Resurrection Sunday is a celebration. You know, we get caught up in the crucifixion that we forget to get caught up in the celebration. Resurrection Sunday is a celebration. You know, it's not something to you know, we want to keep going over what happened. You know, the crucifixion, and he died on the cross. But we need to remember, he got up. That's the most important thing, is he got up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's a celebration. Hallelujah. You know, we want to mourn at funerals when we should celebrate. And that's what we should do. Resurrection Sunday, celebration of Christ. Hallelujah. And the fact he got up. Matthew 26:37, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Even Jesus was sorrowful and distressed. Isaiah called the coming Messiah a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, because he had to take our sinful selves, sins, future sins, to the cross. Sins of his day, sins of our day, he took them all to the cross, so that we can have eternal life with him. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus faced sorrow like he had never known. Truly, he was in all points tempted as we are. Hebrews 4:15. He was tempted to say, I'm not doing it. I'm coming home. No, these people are not worth it. But he didn't. He said, your will be done. Your will. And that's what we have to say every day. Lord, whatever's going, I'm going through, your will be done. And sometimes that cup is a hard cup to swallow. But we have to remember that Jesus paid it all. He already drank that cup of sorrow. He already died for our sins. And all he wants from us is to trust in him. And before we get out of here this morning, if there's anyone that has a word from God that you'd like to share, now's the time to push that one on your phone. But we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning for all of us. And as always, she knows what God, I know God gives it to her. And it says, if you are going through difficult times, sing God. Come on, sis. He knows how to bless you in unexpected ways. Have a meditating Monday. We got to spend that time with Jesus. And I thank you for spending this hour with Mother Valerie and myself. You know, we are about to wrap up. We got about 60 seconds on live, but we know that if God's will, we always can go over. But one more time before we get out of here, if you are going through difficult times, keep trusting God. He knows, come on now, how to bless you in unexpected ways. Have a meditating Monday, family. Mother Valerie, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Just remember, Jesus has already paid it all. And we celebrate, because one day we're going to practice and we're going to be able to use that rapture jump to go up in the sky with our Savior. Have a great and blessed day, family. Mother Valerie, what is it? It's a wrap, y'all.
It's a wrap. It really is.
Have a blessed day. It's a wrap. And please, all of you, please keep Mother Rita in your prayers. We are keeping her and her family lifted, including our beautiful Mother Valerie and Sister Carolyn as well. So please keep the Davis and Bell family and Nesbitt family in your prayers.
So we love you, Mother Valerie. It's a wrap, y'all.
Oh, it's a wrap.
And I can honestly say, Mother Valerie, I might be going back to take a nap like you this morning, but I'm not. I got work to do. So thank you all. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.